Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a few select people will soon be able to meet their loved ones at the gate in SeaTac Airport in Seattle. And the final episode in the travels of Anthony Bourdain airs tonight on CNN.
In our effort to make you a smarter traveler at 320, Mark tells you the three most common mistakes people make when traveling to New York City.
Our buddy Steve LaRosa is here with the latest edition of What's Going On Around the Area, and he's certainly to revive a few memories of family road trips from days gone by. That's coming up at 3:35.
And we'll invite you to call in and share your recollections of your family's road trips. Remember piling into the station wagon and heading off on an adventure with the family? Well, we've got prizes. Yes, prizes for the best road trip story. Be ready to call in at 3:45.
We're taking a step back into the past while making you a smarter traveler in the future. Thank you for joining us on The Travel Guide.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. By golly, here on this Veterans, a very, very, very smoky Veterans Day. And I'd like to begin our program with a salute to all of our veterans tuned in today, and a salute to Steve LaRosa, also a veteran of sorts, joining us. And hope all of you have a wonderful day. I went out of my way to cook for a couple of veterans today. I put together my famous Tommy's Stroganoff, which will be delivered later this afternoon to a couple of my favorite veterans, my two father-in-laws.
Tommy's Stroganoff, named after Tom.
Yeah, after me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What makes it special?
I make it.
You know, it kind of seems, we do kind of a lighthearted travel program here in the afternoon on Sunday, because after all, it's a travel program. We're not changing the world here with what happens in an hour. But with all that's going on up in the Paradise area and down in Southern California, it seems, you know, it seems almost sacrilegious a little bit to get in here. People are really concerned about, almost as we were talking before we went on the air, almost everybody in the area knows somebody who knows somebody who has, and in this case, it's not, you know, whether or not people have lost everything or not, almost all those people up there have pretty much lost it completely. So it's a little difficult to come in here and say, well, you know, let's talk about travel and it's all kind of fun and everything, when the travel that some of our neighbors in Northern California are doing is, you know, from their homes for the last time and getting out with their lives. So anyways, to all those of you who are affected by this in one way or another, know that, you know, the whole thoughts and prayers thing has kind of gotten out of hand. But just know that we're thinking of you, and we wish you the best.
And at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we do our best to bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. That, Mark, you've got a pile of stuff there.
I do.
Let's get
it
going.
This is kind of interesting. Lyft has decided to remove the ability to split a fare when you travel in a Lyft car, which is kind of interesting because the holidays are coming up, and a lot of people probably would be traveling together in vehicles, and their competitor didn't do the same thing, and they offered no explanation. You know, you could get into a car, and for a 25-cent fee on each side, you could split the fare. And you could do it, you know, automatically on your app so that it would charge half of the fare to one person and half to the other and add a 25-cent fee. So that ability to do that has gone away.
Are you talking about, you know, I recall recently, I think it might have been a trip to San Antonio or Vegas, where you could order up a different kind of automobile, one that you were sharing with someone, is
no, you can still do that.
That one's still available.
You can still do that, okay. And you'll pay a price that's less because you may not be going in a direct line.
Right.
But this was, let's say, you
so
and I.
So that still exists.
Yeah, you and I were going from point A to point B, and we wanted to split the fare. Well, instead of, you know, me giving you $11.50 cash afterwards, why, we could just do it conveniently. So for some reason, Lyft has decided to do away with that. They have said that maybe something else might be coming down the line, so we'll see what happens. Dog poop covered the seats on my Delta flight. Oh, you know you're having a bad day. Apparently, an ill service dog left behind something that the cleaners didn't see, or there weren't cleaners on that plane or whatever, and the next passenger gets on and kind of gets it all over the place. And, you know, if you know anything about what dogs leave behind, it's, you know, sometimes malodorous and, you know, it's not pleasant. They had to go all the way from Atlanta to Miami with all of this. And so Delta has apologized. Apparently the flight, this is what irritated the guy, is that the flight attendant said to him, well, it's not my problem. She said, well, if the cleaning crew didn't clean your seat, I don't have any control over that. We're a couple minutes away from departure, so you can either sit in your seat or you can not go home. I mean, I'm just personally, I don't know how bad the man needed to get home, but I'm just thinking at that point in time, I may be, you know, electing not to fly at that point in time if my seat's got dog poop in it. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't want to be. I mean, I have a minimum level, and that just doesn't come up to it.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's hard to even believe that a flight attendant would go there and be that rude.
Well, and you know, you have to remember,
there's got to be another solution.
When you read or you hear about these interesting stories that people share, you have to keep in mind that there's always another side to the story, and sometimes you're only getting, but other people on the plane confirmed that there was dog poop on a seat, so. You know, that's kind of a bad deal. Here's the deal, Tom. The cleaners on airplanes have 7 minutes to get on one of those planes, three or four of them in a team, and clean the entire aircraft, 7 minutes. So I can just tell you that, you know, they're not going to do a real thorough job, although I would think that they would have noticed, you know, something like that. But it's also a possibility that plane came and they were trying to turn it so quickly that there weren't any cleaners got on the plane. So right. That's why nobody noticed it until the passengers started getting on. Speaking of things that should be watered down, flight attendants in a survey fest to watering down drinks. This was a survey that polled 119 flight attendants about the sneakiest things they've done on a flight. More than a third of them asked admitted to watering down passengers' alcohol. Most of them said that was done in relation to passengers that they felt had already consumed too much alcohol to start with. So that certainly makes lots of sense. 75% admitted that to outright refusing to serve passengers when they're drunk. Good for them. But that's not the only thing flight attendants owned up to. According to this Flyer Talk article, about 62% made fun of customers behind their backs. 1 in 4 had sex with another crew member. 15% met with a passenger after a flight, although only 5% of them slept with the passenger. Pilots are not immune either. About almost 12% of flight attendants polled slept with a pilot before or after a flight. While in the air, the number, this is encouraging, while in the air, the number is much lower. about 4% of the flight attendants, this is out of 119, so that means like 5, had intercourse with a passenger or fellow cabin member during the actual flight. So I've never been on one of these flights where people are hump. How could you get two people in a restroom on an American Airlines flight these days? I mean, have you seen how big those restrooms are? I don't think it's physically possible to get. And if you got two people in there, there's no way that you could move around on any. Anyways, moving right along, AAA projects 54 million Americans will travel this Thanksgiving. It is a record. And I swear to God that all 54 million of them are in the same airport as I am. No matter where I go, I'm going to take some nice people to Jackson to the National Hotel for Thanksgiving dinner this
year. You do that every year. I've heard great reviews.
So I will not be contributing to that over-the-road stuff. All right, here's a story about a violinist. Remember I said there were two sides to all these stories that you hear? So this violinist gets upset because the airline refuses to accommodate his $80,000 violin. This guy's flying on Southwest Airlines. They won't help him store his $80,000 violin. And so he checks in and he gets early to the gate and he says, I get on the plane and all the overhead bins are full. And so the flight attendant says, you have to check this. And of course, I'm not going to check it. And the crew ignored him and put him on a flight 3 hours later. And the guy got all upset and he went on Facebook and everything. Aha. But remember that second side to the story? The guy had a low C boarding pass. He didn't check in till the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got on a plane on Southwest, all the space was gone.
Right.
You know, so whose fault is that?
Yeah, there you go. You know, if I had an $80,000 violin, it would never leave my hands.
I thought you were
going to
have an $80,000 wife there for a second.
It would never leave. My wife has a violin. She plays. And we've never traveled with it, but it's small enough it could go under your seat.
Okay.
I don't understand what
he was concerned
about. So
if the guy's got an $80,000 violin, why did he not pay $40 or $25 or whatever it is to be one of the first people to board so there would be enough room for his violin? That's all I'm saying is that, you know, you can't blame that on the airline. You have to take some personal responsibility for stupidity.
Remind me to tell you the story of my daughter and son-in-law who traveled to Sacramento recently with their pets.
Okay.
It's Steve, a good one. You're going
to
like
Steve, remind
this.
Me to Tom to tell that story that Tom is about the pets and stuff. Okay, good. Hawaii has turned Tahiti into a year-round route. You could fly 3 days a week to Papeete from San Francisco. Starting soon, you will be able to fly, starting on March 30th, you will be able to fly 7 days a week. Having been there once in my life and hoping to go back before I leave this earth, I will just say that Tahiti was a pretty damn cool place. Not Tahiti necessarily, but the outer islands are just Bora Bora and all of the Morea and all the other places down there. Pretty cool. So if that's not on your bucket list, you might want to consider. And as we mentioned in the headlines, the Seattle Airport will soon allow people to pick up their friends and family at the gate. 50 people each day in a trial program in the last 6 weeks will be able to sign up and get a TSA pass and be able to get through security without a ticket. And if the program works, why they will consider extending it. From a security standpoint, I don't see it, but, you know, that's not me. Veterans Day means free entry for service members to almost 150 state parks. So tomorrow, if you are a veteran, you can enter all of the California state parks for free. And happy Veterans Day. Never forget to all of the veterans who are out there. Thank you so much for your service and all that you have done to make our country what it is. We lost Willie McCovey while I was on the road. That's just a kind of a random thought.
You know, honestly. And here again, you know, Willie wasn't, by today's standards, all that old.
No, he wasn't. And you know what? For years, baseball fans, he said on the travel show, baseball fans in San Francisco really kind of held Willie McCovey in a higher regard than Willie Mays, which was always kind of interesting because many people consider Willie Mays to be one of the greatest players ever who ever played the game. Willie McCovey was a great player. He was not a player quite on Willie Mays' level. But the fans liked Willie McCovey, maybe because his entire career, Mays had come from New York and McCovey's entire career was with the Giants. But, you know, a reflection of who Willie McCovey was, the most inspirational player every year from the Giants receives the Willie McCovey Award. So it almost seems as appropriate that he passed during the winter. When there wasn't baseball going on, it almost strikes me as being appropriate. Anyways, well, so long to Willie McCovey, and that is the travel news for today.
And follow along with all that we talk about, links to all of that at travelguysradio.com, including information that we're going to talk about here in about 3 minutes. Mark's going to make us smarter travelers, particularly those of us that are going to be heading for New York City. He's going to expose the three most common mistakes people make when traveling to NYC. That's next on The Travel Guy. Welcome, everyone. It is The Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for taking some time out. Again, visit travelguysradio.com anytime. And if you're out of town and you want to listen to the Travel Guys, you can do so at iHeartRadio. Just look up KFBK and there will be every Sunday at 3:00. Okay, Mark mentioned at the top of the cast, and we didn't get to it, special program on CNN tonight, the final episode or the final program for Anthony Bourdain. Mark, what do you know about
that? Well, he had done a few before committing suicide. They had put, I think it was four or five shows sort of in the can. He provided narration on each of them, and he hadn't done the narration yet, but they had done the filming. And so tonight is the last one of those. And interestingly enough, Bourdain went all over the world in some of his episodes. And tonight he's going to the Lower East Side of New York. And those who know of Anthony Bourdain's story know that it was a colorful one. His life wasn't perfect, and he had some drug issues and some other issues, and some of those came from the Lower East Side in New York. And apparently, that those are some of that is woven into the program tonight, which kind of makes it sort of in a strange way appropriate, maybe, that this is his last program. A man who certainly had his demons, but did an amazing. This was the highest rated travel program ever. And it was the highest. CNN got more money for commercials on his show than any other program they put on the air. So including primetime newscasts and stuff like that. So this guy was, people watched him and they listened to him and they enjoyed him. And so if you did, tonight is the last time that you can watch an original Anthony Bourdain program on CNN tonight at 9 o'clock. So don't call me between 9 and 10, because that's what I'm going to be. All right. Our folks at Beyond Time, our friends at Beyond Times Square offer some tips for you if you are headed for New York City. It's a place that many people go to for business or pleasure. It's on just about everybody's bucket list who hasn't been there. Lots of folks enjoy Broadway shows. There's so much to see and do in New York City. And the Behind Times Square folks put out this little short article about, it has three mistakes that people commonly make going to New York City. And I thought they hit the nail right on the head. First one, thinking the New York subway system is difficult and scary, because the New York subway system is arguably your best asset when you're a visitor in New York City. It will allow you to go almost everywhere on Manhattan Island, or within a mile of almost everywhere on Manhattan Island, for a very reasonable price. And more importantly, the subway goes fast, and traffic in New York City does not go fast. So the cab ride, because traffic doesn't go fast, or the Uber ride or the Lyft ride or whatever, there's so many Uber and Lyft drivers on the road now in New York City, they're causing more traffic issues, it's going to cost you a lot of money. You may not get there when you need to get there. Take the subway if you're going to go to New York City. Probably the best thing that a friend of mine did on my very first visit to New York City was, she said, let me take the two of you guys and show you how to use the subway. And that might be the best 15 minutes I ever invested in my whole life, because knowing how to use the subway, knowing the difference between an uptown train and a downtown train, which is really critical in New York City, and being able to use the subway will make a significant difference in the quality of your experience and allow you to go to some really cool places that you might have missed otherwise, because you can do more in less time.
All right.
All right. Number two, mistake that folks usually make going to New York City, taking advice from your friend, neighbor, or relative who last visited 10 years ago or longer.
Okay.
New York is the largest city in the United States. Restaurants open and close, museums. If you don't believe restaurants open and close, just ask Guy Fieri. Museums open and close, entire new neighborhoods start in New York City. Over the period of 10 or 15 years, down where the Twin Towers used to be is a whole brand new neighborhood that is spinning up now. So be careful about building your itinerary around wisdom given to you by people who haven't been there recently. This pretty much applies to any destination, but it really applies to New York City. 10 years ago, you would have had a hard time walking down 42nd Street without being accosted by somebody who might have been holding a needle in their hand. That's not going to happen today. So it's really, that is really, really good wisdom. And finally, mistake number three about the people make when they're going to New York City, thinking you're going to see everything in one trip, because you're not. If you're going to New York City for a week, I don't care if you're going to New York City for a month, you're not going to see everything. It's an exciting city. You've got Brooklyn and the Bronx and Queens, and Staten Island, which all have attractions of their own. It's going to take you half a day to go out and see Liberty Island and Ellis Island. You may want to do the hard hat tour on Ellis Island. There are even a few things to do, heaven forbid, in Newark. So you're not going to get. So I thought those were three pretty good things. Thinking the three mistakes that people make when they're going to New York City, thinking that the subway is scary and difficult, taking advice from somebody who hasn't been there recently and thinking you're going to see everything in one trip. Those are not not life-changing, but if you pay attention to those three things, your visit to New York City will be considerably enhanced. I want to just mention, Tom, here before we go to the news at the bottom of the hour, a nice lady named Debbie sent an email last week and asked, we are really overdue for a mailbag. There are a lot of people who have sent questions, and I try to answer as many of them as I can individually. Debbie, your answer has to wait till next week. She asked, what's the best cruise liner for Alaska for 50-plus people? That would be Holland America, in my opinion. What's the best time of the year to travel Alaska? I would pick the spring or early summer. Spring in Alaska would be like from late May to late June, and early summer would be, you know, July. She also asked about fishing up there. What would be a good trip? I need to get a little more, do a little more research on that. So, Debbie, I'll tell you about great fishing trips in Alaska next week. Thomas, tell us a little bit about what's coming up after the news break.
Well, I'm glad you gave me a minute because we've got a big back half of the show to take care of. Steve LaRosa joins us. We're going to do our What's Going On all around Northern California. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we got a special guest in studio from the Tau Museum. That's the not the Tau. What, Stephen?
California Automobile Museum.
Oh, the California Automobile Museum. Not the same.
Well, it used to be Tau.
Used to be.
Oh, well, I'm just so out of touch. That's why you're here today.
And we have some prizes to give away.
We do. In fact, the bottom of the half of the last part of the hour, the last 10 minutes, we want you to call in and tell us some stories about being on the road on vacation when you were young.
I think top three tips of visiting Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
If you haven't been to the California Automobile Museum in 10 years,
yeah, okay. That was me.
Yeah, that was a cheap plug.
Am I blushing? I feel like I am.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But we have prizes. We have tickets to the Harvest Festival for folks who might want to share a little bit about their family road trip with us in the second half of the program. So stay tuned for that. We have an update on the news and the fires and all of that ick coming up because this is All News Radio KFBK.
And don't forget now, travelguysradio.com.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys here in the afternoon. Joe, can I just say something here for a second? Joe is doing a really great job.
Joe's a star.
People. Joe is and, a
he's
real
been
pro.
Been handling the fire coverage like he handles everything else top notch. And, yeah. You know, here again, the KFBK is the station I've been close to for 21 years. I'm always proud of the job that they do, and the staff that we have is just
Well, when something like this happens and you're Joe and you're Mark Hoffman on the street, you turn your radio to KFBK to find out what's going on. So, I mean, that's if you live around here, that's what you do. Never mind whether you agree with everything that's said here, but when something is happening and the news is important, then you come to this station. So it's nice to have people like Joe who are professional and on top and who have information that you can depend on. So that's good. Anyways, we have some special guests here. So
yeah, speaking of what's going on. Steve LaRosa back in studio when we least expect him with another edition of What's Going On. Steve, welcome to the program.
Great to be back, fellas. We got some great stuff coming up that is happening around Northern California that I think people will enjoy hearing about.
Well, all right. Yeah, this is something that we do, you know, on kind of a regular basis. Lots of stuff right here nearby.
One of them involves bare naked ladies.
What?
I saw it right here. It's on his list. It says bare naked ladies.
Well, there goes my trivia question. So, all right, that's going to be, well, this, what Mark is alluding to, of course, is Monday, November 19th, 8 p.m., which is a week from tomorrow, at Harlow's, 27th and J in Sacramento. It's the Stephen Page Trio, former frontman of Mark.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Bingo, there you go. Tickets and more information.
Do I win something big?
My undying admiration for your musical acumen.
Along, yeah.
Tickets and more information at sblentertainment.com. Then up in Grass Valley, it's the Country Christmas Fair, which is going to be November 23rd through the 25th. That's going to be at the Nevada County Fairgrounds, 11228 McCourtney Road. Now, for more information, you can log on to nevadacountyfair.com. And they're featuring strolling entertainment, festival foods, the Magical Gingerbread House exhibit, which I'm sure you guys
have. I've been to this event, and it's really, really cool. So if the weather is any kind of good at all, why, it's really worth going to. And all of these websites are all listed at travelguysradio.com in case you're not writing them down, as Steve says them.
You are correct, sir. And finally, from my quickies list here, the Harvest Festival Art and Craft Show is going to be at Cal Expo Friday through Sunday. That's this coming weekend, November 16th through the 18th. And there's 300 artisans are going to be there. And they've created over 24,000 handmade arts and crafts. There's going to be demonstrations, live entertainment. I actually have counted 20,000 of those 24,000.
It sounds like a great event. And rumor has it that if you are listening to this program and in, 10 minutes or so, you call in and share information about your family road trip in the station wagon, you can get tickets to this Harvest Festival.
Uh-huh. Second time he has been absolutely correct so far on the what's going on.
Wow, segment. Two for two.
And by the way, for more information and tickets, go to log on to harvestfestival.com and they'll give you all the information.
Okay.
Now, finally, I brought a guest in today, fellas.
I know. She's been sitting here. I embarrassed myself in front of her earlier.
Than you are, and
by
miles. Exactly.
We have star power.
We do.
Ooh.
Sorry about that little pun. It's actually Carly Starr, who is the curator for a great new exhibit at the California Automobile Museum. It's called Road Trippin', and I'm going to let Carly fill you in on some of the great things. I've seen this exhibit, and it is nostalgia overload if you've done any cross-country trips.
Hi, Carly. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi there.
You've
happy
got
to
all
be here.
Kinds of stuff.
Does she ever?
I do. I brought all sorts of goodies with me today.
She brought her own suitcase in case she has to leave quickly.
A Samsonite one, of course. It had to be Samsonite.
That looks like about a 1940s Samsonite, I'm thinking.
I think this one's actually more from the 60s.
Ooh.
But they were pretty similar from multiple
60s,
decades.
I used to have that.
Yeah.
I recognize
Excuse
that.
Me. So, and you have all kinds of stuff, from things that people used to use, or things that people bought along the road when they went on family road trips.
Yeah, and that's what this exhibit's all about. So I actually brought some things that were in the exhibit, from a little Yellowstone matchbook, or one of my favorites is Your Maid Is, and it lists two women's names. They're college students from California and North Carolina. That was at the Yellowstone National Park. So this idea that someone in 1961 kept this little maid card and kept it in their souvenirs. And so we have things like this all over the exhibit.
Look at those things over there. You have road trip bingo.
Yeah, auto bingo.
You remember
those little
that
cards?
Did you ever play that? Did you ever play
I
road
never
trip
did.
Bingo?
This is my first look at something called auto bingo.
For people who are listening as they're driving around town here, it's the card with, it looks like a bingo card, except that it's got little windows that close shut. And what do they do? Different things on the road for this game?
Yeah, some of these are barns, silos, flagpoles, tractors. This company actually made different versions of bingo games. Some of them were based on road signs or models of cars.
Uh-huh.
And they're all throughout the 50s. I believe these are from the 60s, but they're actually still made today. We just bought some at Target, too, for the exhibit, for the modern car.
Before tablets, this is how you kept children occupied.
Yes, exactly.
But the big stars of this show, Carly, tell them about the vehicles that you and by the way, it's not just vehicles, it's how she dressed them up with. Tell them about that.
Yes, all these bingo cards and suitcases and everything that I have with me here go with the cars. I couldn't bring a car with me. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
I know, it's so hard. But we have about a dozen cars in this exhibit, and we're featuring the heyday of the road trip, which is the post-war era, the 50s, 60s, 70s. We do have one car that represents road trips before World War II, because road trips have always been happening,
right?
As well as a modern car, modern SUV.
But it was really after World War II. And it is, having just traveled along old Route 66 very recently here, I can tell you that definitely that was that post-World War II era that you're talking about, up until the interstate system came about in the basically in the 70s. That was the time for the heyday of getting in the, because who could afford four plane tickets to take the family to Yellowstone Park? And besides, the planes only went twice a day and they weren't that reliable and stuff. You took your car.
And, yeah, and I understand this, not only do you have cars, but you have some campers and some trailers on exhibit as well?
Exactly. So of all the vehicles, we have one RV, we have a trailer, we have a 1939 teardrop trailer, which is incredibly early. But the trailer we have is a 1959 Shasta, super iconic and adorable. And then we have two motorcycles, we have station wagons, we have a VW camper, we have sedans. So we're really trying to show the variety of types of cars and different ways that people would have hit the road at different times.
So we want to invite people, if you would like to call us and share with us your personal story about your family's road trip. We have some tickets to the Harvest Festival next weekend at Cal Expo to give you. 921-1530, that's 916-921-1530, or 1-800-834-1530. 1530. If you call us now, we'll put you on the air after the break. This is at the Ottawa Museum downtown, formerly known as the Tau Ford Museum, right?
Correct. We're the California Auto Museum, but we used to be the Tau Ford, and we're on Front Street off of Broadway.
Okay. And this exhibit runs until?
It runs until February 25th. You can find out more information at calautomuseum.org, and we're open every day except Tuesday.
Wow, that is really, really, really cool. It's so, is this a, you got the campers and all of this memorabilia from days gone by.
Yeah, the nostalgia factor, but even if you're younger, you can still really enjoy it. There's just so much fun, amazing stuff in this
exhibit. So how are things at the museum in general? I haven't been there for a while, and I'm definitely going down to see this.
Yeah, Steve is absolutely right. This museum has changed a tremendous amount in the last 10 years. I've been there for 5 years. It's changed a tremendous amount then. We have a new roof on the building. We're changing our exhibits. We're really becoming a really vibrant place. We have rides and cars on the third Sunday of every month, so you can actually get a ride in one of our classic cars. We have all sorts of different family programming, and it's just a really great place to kind of go a trip through history.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming in and talking with us today. And again, if you would like to share some of, otherwise you're going to have to listen to Steve, Tom, and I talk about our family road trips. 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. If you'd like to share something about one of your family's road trips from days gone by and get a couple of tickets to the Harvest Festival.
All right, again, our special guest, Carly Starr, curator at the California Auto Museum. One of the things you got to look for, I saw it on your list of cool things that are there, is the tent that which attaches to the back of a station wagon with the retro camping gear and so forth. I mean, those were the days, huh?
They were. Thank you for coming in and joining us today. All right, we'll take your phone calls and we come back to the Travel Guys.
It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And away we go on our open road trip, going back in time, Lonnie in Roseville. Lonnie, thanks for joining us here on the Travel Guys. Tell us your road trip story, my friend.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. Hey, I'll try to make it quick. A couple of events happened that might be interesting. This was in the mid-'80s. I was a single guy, single father. I had two children, two boys. They were in elementary school, I think probably third or fourth grade. And I was dating a lady who was a prison guard out at Folsom Prison. She had four kids that were about the same age as mine, you know, a couple years younger and one older who was probably in junior high school at the time. So there were six kids and her and I had an old Smith Valari that I had bought on Fulton Avenue for about $700 at one point. Didn't have much money in those days. And it had a big dent in the passenger side rear door. It was one of those Plymouth Valaris that had a wood grain side and stuff. And, you know, it ran okay, but it had a big old dent like somebody had hit a telephone pole with it on the side of the car. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we loaded all six kids and two of us in the car and headed for Southern California. She had family down there. We wanted to take the kids to Disneyland. And we also thought we'd go to Mexico to Tijuana. So we got six kids in this Plymouth Valari, plus two of us. And it's not a very big station wagon. So that was pretty interesting. Of course, in the back, no seat belts, two in the back facing backwards, whatever. We get down there, We're going to the Stater folks by the beach, decided to go swimming. Well, I had, in those days, wore a hairpiece, and I had never had it off, and I was very paranoid about seeing without the hairpiece. We went swimming, and we're out there swimming in the ocean, and her oldest boy swims up to me and goes, "Hey, what's that?" And I look over there, and there's my hairpiece floating around in the ocean next to me. So I was extremely embarrassed. I grabbed it, stuffed it in my pocket, climbed out of the beach, and pretended like nothing ever happened. But that was kind of crazy. And then the second thing was, we went on down to Tijuana a couple days later. We're cruising around, go through this intersection, and this guy in the sports car comes through and bounces off this big produce truck with a bunch of vegetables piled high and hits my car right in that same rear door, which I forgot to say I had replaced it just before we left on vacation because it had the big dent. Uh-huh. And had a new door on there, and he hit the car and created almost the same exact dent again.
Oh, what a story. That's great, Lonnie. I tell you, you know.
Sandy in Sacramento, share your road trip story with us.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Well, I tell you what. You have to remember, this is, well, you just came Route 66. And back in 1949, the early beginnings of 1950, my mom and dad decided we were going to go to Phoenix, Arizona, and we went Route 66. And it was quite interesting because, you know, kids didn't have cell phones then. So we used to flip a coin to see which one counted the Chevrolets and which one counted the Fords. Then we'd figure out how many, you know, we'd see who got the most at the end of the day. So we counted cars. But there was a restaurant that always, I always think about this because, you know, most gentlemen, you know, think, you know, they're being done in. Well, we were in this restaurant, and my dad ordered something, came with hot sauce. And they brought him this little thing of hot sauce. It looked like it wasn't a dime's worth. And my dad says, "Boy, they're awful stingy with their hot sauce." Right, the waitress heard him. And, of course, she said, "You want some more?" He says, "Oh, yeah, I'd like lots more. That's not very much." Well, before tasting, he puts it on his food. Well, you know what happened.
Yeah, I can see where this is going.
He was on fire. Well, he ate the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Dads do that.
Oh, he ate the whole thing. And we had one of those canvas bags on the front of the car for cold water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he threw two of those in a case of beer, and he was still on fire.
There you go.
I saw us another time the whole time we were gone.
Oh, that's a great story. Sandy, hang on the phone here. We got to move on because trying to get as many people as we can as possible. Scott in Fair Oaks, what do you got for us?
Let's see. I was born in 1956. We had a 1964 Ford Country Squire station wagon with the fake wood paneling on the side.
Yeah, Woody.
My dad stayed here, flew back to Boston, where my mom's from. She drove across country with five or six of us kids in the back. We stopped in Wyoming, and they only had one room left. And I'm going to pair work on the accident. The lady who's running the desk said, "The radiator blowed a hole, so there ain't no heat." So, but we got in the room. It was the last one there. And in the morning, someone started the car right in front of the hole in the door, so we're sucking exhaust fumes. But the rest of the trip went well. Everything turned out all right.
The radiator blew a hole in it. Scott, that's great. We got one more here,
yeah,
Tom?
Yeah, let's see if we can get one more in here before the top of the hour. Kathy, Sacramento. Hi, Kathy.
Well,
welcome to the Travel Guys.
Welcome. Thank you. Yeah. My story seems kind of benign compared to the stories about the hot sauce and so on. I'm originally from Missouri, and my parents used to take my brother and me up to Wisconsin to see my mom's sister and my uncle. And as we drive through the linoleum of the plains, the central states, my mom, who grew up on a farm, would quiz my brother and me about what kind of crops were growing. And it wasn't nearly as interesting as here in California, as you can imagine. It was pretty much corn and wheat and beans. Corn and wheat and beans, and that was it. My story.
And we did that. We did that in our family white Plymouth. I can't remember the name of it, but it had the big fins on the back of it.
There you go.
Wow. Wow.
Did you ever play the automobile bingo?
Yes. Yeah. Well,
how appropriate.
Go ahead.
How appropriate, you're winning two tickets to the Harvest Festival.
That That would be appropriate.
That seems. Kathy, hold on the line.
Corn and wheat and beans.
And Luis will take care of you. And we've got
peaches,
a couple.
Peaches, almonds, and walnuts.
We've also got a couple people on the line we don't have time to talk to. But if you stay on the phone, Luis will get you tickets to the Harvest Festival. And thank you for those were great stories. I mean, we probably could sit here all day and do this.
Your next Thanksgiving's coming up, right?
Uh-huh.
I think you're sitting around and you're looking for something to chat about that's not going to be controversial with the family. Don't talk about politics
or
whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, go ahead and bring that one up and have the family talk about road trips that they remember. Of course, many of them, if it's a family gathering, will have been on the same one, and they'll probably all have slightly different stories. And so, it's a lot of fun.
Thanks to Carly for coming in.
Carly, thank you so much.
The curator at the California Automobile Museum downtown, who is our source today for having this little session here on road trips. And thanks to all of those of you who called in. I hope you enjoyed the story.
Neither one of you guys remembered to ask me.
Ask you what?
See there? That's how important I am to this program.
I was going to ask you what
people.
We were supposed to ask him something,
and before the show, he said something about
He said something. This is just like being at home.
Tom, what were we supposed to ask you about?
My son-in-law and my daughter flew back to Sacramento with two dogs. And since I know how much you love people traveling with dogs, they were small ones that you put under the seat on a Southwest. Before they got ready to board the plane, they called them up to the counter and said, "Jacob, Amanda, I see you're traveling with small dogs." And I said, "Yes, here they are." He said, "Well, we're going to give you early boarding." And so they got early boarding because they were carrying two small dogs.
Well, that's just wrong.
Okay.
Thank you all for
Southwest.
Being a part of the program. Joe Michaels $95 is here
a dog,
with more updates on the fire here as All News KFBK continues to be your great source of updates. We'll talk to you next week. Dance like nobody's watching.
See you next
Cats
time.
To the front of the line.